Hello, and welcome to Diffuse Tap with Kenny Estes and Isla Krem. Today, we're going to be chatting with Brendan Kissane, the CEO and president of Drummond Management Advisors, as well as Jason Myers, CEO, co-founder of CXO Equity Partners. We're going to be talking all things DAOs and how you can work it into a legitimate commercial business model. Enjoy. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Hope you had good chats in the breakout rooms. Some of you will be confused by what is going on. So here's what you can expect. You already did one breakout room, but we're going to briefly talk about the event, how it's formatted and why it's formatted that way, and then Diffuse. And then we're going to do a fireside chat with Brendan and hopefully Jason. As far as we can tell, he has not yet found his way to the room. So it might be Brendan only show. And then we're going to do two rounds of breakout rooms, kind of similar to what you just experienced. The reason for that is this is a networking event, first and foremost. We spend about 3/4 of our time just in small groups, 4 or 5, with other alternative investors from all over the world. So it's why a lot of y'all are here. Some of you also come to be a little educated, which is why we have speakers like Brendan, who's going to be sharing some of his thoughts today, specifically about DAOs. And if you like this sort of thing, we do have an in-person version from time to time in a different city. We kind of rotate it. Next one's August 18th in Chicago, and I will be there for that one. So if you're in the Chicago neck of the woods, make sure to register. We do this because we are a crypto fund, I guess, platform, for lack of a better term. We have two live ones right now. One's a market neutral DeFi generating yield, and the other one is a top 30 index fund for crypto that we're actually in the process of IPOing. So if you want to get involved in either of those, do let us know. All right. Well, Brendan, it's just going to be you today. You want to unmute yourself and maybe tell the good folks a little bit about what your background and what you're up to over at Drummond.
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody. pleasure to be here. So my name is Brendan Kissane, running a company, probably the last, close to 25 years, really in the corporate restructuring area, mainly work with private equity groups and different platforms of theirs. We're just doing various restructuring improvements and then typical sale of those businesses. And then I made a foray into obviously the crypto world, and along with Jason and a bunch of other folks, we're launching, vis-a-vis the DAO. And I know that's today's topic. It's very interesting. There's a lot of questions out there regarding the structure of how DAOs work. In our case, and we talked about this internally, there's really an important aspect here to give some type of majority to kind of a management team, which has oversight. In other words, the voting process is obviously everybody has the right to vote. We appointed a group within our the formation to be able to have management of the DAO, and then of course, everybody that's a member of the DAO has voting rights. So typically putting forth various different resolutions and processes get voted on, but the management team to accelerate the process. Otherwise, you could be waiting for folks for long periods of time. And then also it allows us, as in, obviously anybody can buy the tokens, anybody can buy into the specific DAO.
So the first one that we want to look at is, I think everybody in the group already knows what is a DAO. But if you were going to put a value on a DAO, what makes it valuable? The infrastructure that you happen to have, or whether you have registered that DAO with any kind of legal jurisdictions, or whether the community behind the DAO is very engaged. How do you put a value on a DAO?
We formed a DAO in Wyoming for specific reasons, very friendly towards the DAO formation itself. The efficiency is everything you run through, obviously, the smart contract. Everybody knows how those things work. Long story short, it's a sense of community, and it's an ability for anybody or any group that has a community-driven project to launch. And we were up and running in probably less than 36 hours in one of the first ones that we did. And it was a group that came together, some of which folks loosely knew each other, but didn't. And we got up and running in a very short period of time. There's a lot of efficiencies to be had for it. The management of the DAO is a critical aspect to really consider. And how do you drive quick, efficient decision-making? And so you can imagine if you have thousands of people involved, getting the voting process to happen in a quickly and expedited manner is key. And henceforth, why we chose the direction of having a management team, not a management team, but, you know, governing group that's able to accelerate decision-making processes quickly within the DAO.
Sure. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the nuts and bolts. So when you're spinning up a DAO, what are your options? How can you structure a DAO? Is it, and also while we're on the subject, kind of like it might be useful for the audience to compare and contrast a DAO structure or a hybrid structure, whatever it is, versus a more traditional just company.
Yeah, it's a good question. Why did we pick a DAO? Obviously, in our case, the specific project is, an informational. We're bringing together groups on a summit type environment where you can come in and learn about various different aspects of crypto. We're running that through DAO. So it's called DAO Dynasty. And, compared to just a traditional LLC and starting the corporation, we have launched the token. There is NFTs as well. So we're definitely crypto centric in regards to what we're trying to accomplish.
Well, Isla, do you want to, maybe we change up the order a little bit? Do you want to do breakout rooms now? Give Brendan a little bit of time to see if he can sort out technical issues, and then we can pick it back up.
Yes, I think. And then, Brendan, you can log out and log back in. Maybe that'll solve it. We'll do one round of breakout rooms a tiny bit early, and we'll see you back here in about 10 minutes. Just one second. Let me tee that up. Okay, recreating rooms. We'll see you back here in 10 minutes. Hopefully that can be resolved.
All right. Thank you, folks. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Let's give this another whirl. I think, Isla, you had a questiony. That's not a word. A question you were dying to ask our dear friend, Brendan.
One of the questions we've chit-chatted a little bit around Telegram beforehand as well is kind of the DAO mutiny. There was this example of a DAO voting to take control over a user's funds. And because of that, that ended up being turned over later on. It was just to avoid a liquidation. But do you see this becoming a common thing or a common phenomenon or issue in DAOs these days, that the community mood might take over, the leadership might take over?
If you have sufficient number of tokens, your vote, you're going to, or a group of people that have sufficient enough votes or have the ability to propose any type of change. So that is theoretically possible. I think what we did, again, we have set up a management, a group that's responsible for the day-to-day operations to, most importantly, accelerate the development. So we're not waiting for everybody to turn in votes and people forget to turn in votes and you're chasing that whole process. And when it comes to, theoretically any corporation, if you have enough shares in a traditional company, let alone a crypto company, then, you have more voting majority. So, and one of the things too, I think when you're looking at investing in any of those types of groups is how long are things locked up? What is the overall governance? Those are important factors to consider when you're, looking to either invest or as your formal one for yourself if you had that desire.
Okay.
So I think the short answer is, it's possible that could happen. I mean, you'd have to have a majority of outstanding tokens to make that even easily possible.
Well, let's dig in further on that, and we'll kind of get back to my question, which I think we had some technical issues on the answer around kind of comparing and contrasting traditional companies and DAOs. So one thing there is, they can vote however they want to, but there is still a legal framework they have to operate. They can't go vote to, run arms, right? Like that's not a thing you can do, but technically the DAO would allow it. So how does that interplay between the well-established legal system and DAO management? How does that work?
We use Wyoming where you're responsible for providing, we have obviously from the fiduciary responsibility regarding movement of funds and so on and so forth. In our case, we make sure that there's, six parties that are voting on any disbursement of funding. So, one rogue person can't go off and decide to take the treasury and run to the hills. So, specifically, we have elected, those folks are elected as a board as part of the Wyoming LLC that's set up, that's behind the DAO. There is, traditional governances that would be like similar in a traditional corporation that we have. And I think, you have to make sure that you have those in place, obviously legally review them and making sure that the proper setup is there. And I think one of the number one things, I think when the, disbursement of funding, again, we have there's a total of 9 people who are approved, and they have to have a majority of those people sign off on any disbursement. So you'd have to basically like 5 or 6, in that case, 5 rogue operators to decide to do something.
It's interesting you said about the sign-offs. We've seen a lot of social engineering lately where people get each other's sign-off. But maybe we'll take Len's question. Can you give us an example of an effective use of a DAO, a commercial entity that is running using a DAO and is kind of deemed successful doing so and has been for a while?
Yeah, I think, obviously DAOs are newer on the horizon. So the examples, a traditional good use for a DAO would be any type of, nonprofit organization would be perfect for a DAO, right? So you have, governance, it's really the community that's coming together, either for a for-profit or nonprofit, but the community that's deciding to run this in a decentralized, obviously smart contract format. And I think, you can have sufficient governances around to ensure that you're not, you don't have get exposed to any type of issues. And one of the other things is, the structure, I think, will work for pretty much most type industries that I can think of. You will have the governance there behind it. So I think from a DAO perspective, it's opening it up to the community, and that community has a vested interest in that specific project.
I think maybe we'll reframe Len's question and ask you again. I think he's kind of getting to the core question, which is, what are DAOs better at than just a traditional, to your example, nonprofit? Why is a DAO any better than just doing a regular nonprofit organization? So I guess what he's asking specifically is there an example of a DAO that you're familiar with, specific example of a DAO that is operating well and in some sense better than would be done by a traditional corporate structure?
Yeah, I mean, as to the specifics, I'm not going to point to a specific DAO itself per se, but coming back to the idea of the nonprofit area, you're instead of just donating money to a nonprofit and hope that they do good things with it, you have voting rights because you actually are part of that team. The community that's involved in that particular, I think it gives more power to the community as compared to a traditional corporation, where theoretically the shareholders elect the board, the board elects the management team, and then you're hoping that management team fulfills the desires, wishes, and wants. I think in a DAO situation, people can have the power to vote, to ensure that the proper, what that community was set up to do is actually getting done by the entity, and we could vote people off. Right, which I think is harder to do with a traditional corporation.
True, it's definitely possible to do with a traditional corporation. And I think unless you in a traditional corporation hold the majority of the shares, it will be difficult to kind of be an activist shareholder. Which is true. I think that's where the DAO does come in. I think a lot of folks in the community, especially at Diffuse, are looking at DAOs from an investment perspective. And I think Scott made a good point there. A DAO might never in its entirety replace a corporate structure. But if one wanted to wager on a DAO, what are the red flags that you would look out for? Is that a management team that is willing to go around the DAO? Is it a poor infrastructure underlying it? What are the pieces that you should look out for if you're looking at investing in a DAO from a management perspective? What are the red flags there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. And I think it goes certainly into DAOs and anything else for that matter. You're looking at, obviously, what is the project? What's the roadmap? What are they saying they're going to do? Let's look at the management team and understand, what successes have they had in the past, right? So if they come out of nowhere and they haven't a really proven track record, that would be, harder for me to invest a lot of capital in that specifics. But folks that have had a run of different things and so on and so forth, and their history kind of speaks to that. And then you believe in the project. And then I think the other piece you have to really look at is, what is the governance for the release of those tokens? What time frame are they getting released? If they've been locked up, that gives me more comfort to understand that there is not a pending rug pull that's going to happen in right after you've invested. So I think those are probably the top three in my mind that I would definitely, understanding what the project is actually doing, Certainly the caliber of the management team, and then the structure of how they, have those tokens been locked up for a period of time? Certainly things that have been given to the management team, or that the founders, I'll call them, if they have the ability to liquidate their tokens right immediately, that would give me room for major pause.
So rug pulls, soft rug pulls in particular, massive concern. Totally makes sense. And then bet on the, what is the old VC saying? Bet on the jockey, not the horse, or the horse, not the jockey, whichever way it is. Yeah. Last question, and we ask all speakers the same question. Tell us the future. What do you see coming down? What are you excited by? And brownie points if it's something the audience hasn't necessarily heard about.
Yeah, sure. I definitely see the broader crypto industry, including DAOs, putting all these other players, it's just going to accelerate, right? So the there is an ability through the whole crypto community to put more power in the hands of the many, and the ability to provide all kinds of, whether it's financial services and various other aspects of crypto, into the hands of the masses that, quite frankly, certain types of projects that are out there today they're available in the traditional world, but to a very select group, things like derivative trading and all these various different platforms where, look, if I got $1,000 and I want to trade derivatives through a crypto platform, I can do that. I'm probably not going to be able to do that any other methodology in the traditional world. I wouldn't have access to it. So I think it's going to continue to broaden. And I think, this is kind of, everybody kind of will be talking about this, but I think as you get more adoption, it's going to accelerate. And I don't see, and I know there's peaks and valleys and there's volatility, and that's part of the, I think volatility will soften as the group is larger and as the community grows itself. So, you go beyond, trillion, 2 trillion, 3 trillion, up to 10 or 20 trillion. I think that volatility will soften out a little bit. And I think, obviously the leverage piece is happening right now and the whole thing's getting deleveraged. So to me, crypto is here to stay. And I think that, we come back in 5 years, there'll be a $50 trillion market space, maybe larger, right? So I think it's only going to grow from here.
All right. So rapid, the prediction is rapid and exponential growth of the whole structure. We'll see if it comes to pass. All right. Well, we're going to do one more round of breakout rooms and then do a wrap up. Ayla, now that we're back on your schedule, do you want to give a question for the audience?
Yeah. I think the question here is, if you are observing what's happening within the DeFi ecosystem at the moment, it feels like, projects that are DeFi versus CeFi, there's a really good case to be made for a DAO. It sounds a lot more like people are engaging and they themselves are voting for changes versus the management being able to rug anything that they feel like. So that's a big piece of it. In your opinion, do you think that a DAO is going to come close to being able to manage an entire entity, a company? Will it go more mainstream than it is at the moment, where it's only living in DeFi? Or what is your thinking? I'll put you into rooms now. You should be with all new folks. And we'll see you back here in a little bit more than 10 minutes.
Awesome. Well, thank you, everybody, as we went through technical difficulties and shuffling difficulties. But we got there in the end, and hopefully you met some interesting folks along the way. A couple reminders for what's up next. This is a weekly event. I think I said at the top, or neglected to say, we've done 112 times now. But next week, we're at Liquid Collectibles by Rally. So I think NFTs and collectibles, you'll enjoy it. And then as a reminder, August 18th, if you're in my neck of the woods, check us out for a drink and some networking, co-hosting with Gabby and Chris. And then do join our Telegram group, introduce yourself, ask the audience for something. They're great, especially when it comes to connections and networking. Ms. Isla, what have I?
Nothing. We're excited that everybody showed up today, even though it's middle of summer and you're supposed to be on the beach. We are fired up to have you around next time again. And definitely mark your calendar in case you happen to be in Chicago on the 18th. We'd love to meet you all in person. Any questions that you might have, ping them over. Otherwise, you'll get a thank you email shortly.
All right. And a special thanks to Brendan for sharing some of your knowledge on the DAO front, and all of the everybody else here. Thanks for coming. And we'll see you in a week.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you, guys, as usual.
Thank you, Bonnie.
You're welcome.
Oh,
That's all, folks. Hope you learned something new. If you join us on Zoom every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Central, you can also network with other fascinating alternative investors from all over the world in small groups of four or five. Learn more on our website at www.diffusefunds.com. Until next time.